2 Corinthians chapter 4, we'll be beginning this morning. Second Corinthians chapter 4, and we're going to begin reading in verse number 3 of 2 Corinthians 4. 2 Corinthians 4 verse 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you once again for your many blessings to us, Lord. We thank you for the fellowship that we can have with one another, Lord, today and with you as we gather around your word, Lord, as we worship your name in song. Lord, we just pray that you would help us to understand the principles given here in your word, that we would not preach ourselves, but that we would preach you alone, Lord. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you found it in your Christian life, but I know I find it in mine that many times we read verses in the scriptures and we kind of, well, we say, "Oh, I kind of understand that. I know what that means. I figure it out." But so often what happens is that we need to have something that happens in our life that really brings that verse home to us, that makes it crystal clear to us. And a couple weeks ago, I was doing a job for a person in town, and it was something I knew what I was supposed to do. I knew kind of how long it would take me, and I thought, okay, well, I'll just work away. But the person said, "Well, let me help you." And I was like, okay, I probably could have maybe done it faster if I'd been by myself, which is fine. But while this person was helping me, he proceeded to just pour out just all the troubles that they'd had in their life up to that moment, that just different things had happened and different struggles, and it was a challenge because it's like you have wood to cut with the saw, but you don't want to interrupt them because you can't hear them when the saw is cutting, and you didn't want them to think that you're rude, but you still had work to get done. But you could tell the person needed someone to listen to. But then this person said, "Well, as a pastor, well, do you have any pastorly advice to give to me?" And of course, that really puts you on the spot, because before you're just listening and focused on work, and now it's like, okay, I have to think of what to say. And so I started to try to think, well, there's lots of things that I can say to her about what's going on in her life, just principles that I can give that can help her. I can draw from my own experience. But as I proceeded to tell her about these things, you could tell that she'd heard a lot of it before from different sources and different things, and it was just kind of, "Well, I know that. Do you have anything kind of new for me?" And so you try to work through your brain to find out what just that point that she needs. But it was something that afterwards, and of course, you always kick yourself that it happens when you're at home. It doesn't happen at the moment. But there was a thought, well, she doesn't need all my counsel and all my wisdom and all these things. What she needs is Jesus. And more than anything, because really, for me to tell her, it was coming through me, but what I needed to do instead was to direct her to the Lord, because He had the answers to all her questions. He knew all her sorrows, all the difficulties that she had. I only knew a very brief moment of what she had explained to me, and I didn't know all the other things that happened besides that. And so that's something that we need to remember, and these verses were brought home to me through that, where it says that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And that's what we want to understand, that when we see someone that has needs, and we understand that all around us there's people that are needy, people that are suffering, people that we know that if the Lord were to be a part of their life, that just it would bring such blessing. We want to help them. We even see just kind of decisions that they make, and we see, we know what the consequences will be, and we fear for them. And we think, well, how do I help them? And so we have to recognize that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we understand that if we're upright, if we're a person of character that they could look to, what to do, we understand that it's not ourselves that's worked that up. It's the Lord Himself that's done that work in us to make us righteous, that we were sinners before and He's made a change in us. And that's the only reason why we are upright today, is because of His work. And any wisdom that we have to offer, that it doesn't come from us, that we've taken it secondhand, that it's from the Lord. And that all these things that we understand from the Scriptures, principles of life, that we didn't figure them out on ourselves. It was the Holy Spirit Himself that had to open up our understanding to be even able to comprehend them. And our lives can be blessed of God, but we understand that it's simply because of obedience. The Lord blesses obedience, and of course He brings consequences for disobedience. And for us to think that we're something because we're blessed, we recognize that we're unprofitable servants, as it says in Luke. We have done what it is our duty to do. And that's the sad thing, is sometimes the Lord blesses us because we serve Him, and then we focus on the blessings and we forget the one that we serve. And we need to be very wary of that. And we recognize that all of us that are Christians, that we're sinners saved by grace, and that in us, that is in our flesh, dwells no good thing. That people need more than just us. And sometimes, as we seek to minister to someone, as we see someone that's helping, that's needed for someone to help them, that our pride can get in the way to our usefulness of the Lord, where we think, well, I can help this person. I can get them on track myself. And in our own mind and in our hearts, we realize what it is that we're trying to get the attention on ourselves of, look what I have done for this person. And we realize that anything that we do for a person, it's what the Lord does through us. It's not what we do for them. And we can help a person, but it isn't about us. It's about the Lord. That's what they need. We can give them counsel. We can help them out. And they can appreciate it. But it's something to think about, that if someone has problems and you're a counselor to them and they make a right decision, that's good. It helps them. It prevents them from coming to harm. But often what can happen is they can have a dependency upon you, that they're coming to ask you for assistance. And you always have to try to find out what to say to them and everything else. But yet if you show to them Jesus, if you get them to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that makes a difference. That He knows their heart, He knows their need more than we do, and that He can help them in the way that we need. And that is the thing, that we preach not ourselves, that we want to, in many ways, get out of the way when we're serving someone. We want to be used of the Lord and have the Lord use us, that we can minister to these people. And it says that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. That Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the only begotten Son of the one true God. He is the only Savior this world will ever know. He is that friend that sticketh closer than a brother, and He is the great high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities. That He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That we think of Him as our advocate, our Redeemer, and we even understand Him that we are heirs with Christ, that we are heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, that He is in a sense our brother. And just the thought of that is so mind-boggling, that we who are sinners would be able to say that. But we understand that to be true by the grace of God. If you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And that is the key, that he is to have the preeminence, that we are his servants, that we are his ambassadors, that we represent him. It isn't about us, it isn't that we would get noticed, but that he would be glorified. Jesus spoke in John 12:32, that I, if I be lifted up, will draw all men unto me. And that is the thought, that as we, as his people, if we lift him up, if we proclaim his name, that the Lord can bless, that he will draw people unto them. And we understand from that passage that we read in 2 Corinthians of how the world is in darkness, how Satan has blinded the eyes of so many that sometimes we think it should be so clear, but we realize that Satan has blinded them, has distracted them, has confused them, so they don't see it. And that's why the Lord has sent us into the midst of these people that don't know the Lord, that he sent us to be witnesses for him, and that we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus our Lord, that we understand. It says, verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That we have Christ within us now, and that he is to shine forth, and that we are to allow him to do so, so that people's lives might be changed. If you turn with me to Gospel of John chapter 1. It says, John chapter 1 and verse number 4, it says of the Lord Jesus that in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And we understand that just as with John, that it isn't us. We are not the light. We are not the ones that these people need to heal their blindness, to make them to see. That we have the Holy Spirit within us, that we have the light shining within us. And that is what makes the difference. And we are to let our light so shine before men, and we understand that it isn't something that we work up, but is just allowing the Lord to shine through us. It gives a sense, and it's interesting, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 4, it says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And I'm reminded, earthen vessels, of course, we know to be pitchers, to be made of clay. And it reminds me of the story of Gideon, where he fought with the Midianites, that they hardly had any swords or anything. What they had was torches and these pitchers, these clay pots. And they covered the light with the pot, and then when it was time, that they broke the pitcher so that the light would shine. And it's that same sense that we have as believers, that there's nothing in us that's really of any value that can really minister to these people's needs, that can shine a light unto them. But it is when we are broken, when we are open and available to the Lord, that the light shines through, and that we can be used of him. And that's what we desire more than anything, that he would use us. Because we know that all that, whatever the person is, wherever they are in life, whatever troubles they may face, that all that they need they will find in the Lord Jesus Christ. That he will provide them with salvation. He will provide them with forgiveness. He will give them a fresh start, a new chance. He'll guide them in His truth. He'll show them that with just different decisions that they've made, how they can do what's right, how they can learn to be good parents, they can learn to be good spouses, they can learn to be good employers or employees, that their lives can be forever changed, that everything that they need they will find in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we see that, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30, it says, "But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption." That all that they need will be found in Him. And so, it is a sense as John spoke of, John the Baptist in John 3, verse 30, it says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." That he had such a following himself, that people that came, but as soon as Jesus arrived, that he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world," that his disciples all left him, and he was left alone, and people came to him and said, "Well, are you sad? Now he has more followers than you." And he says, "No, I'm happy for him. That's exactly what was supposed to happen. Because I'm not the light. He is the light. He must increase and I must decrease." And so that is something that we want to do. That when we try to help someone, and it actually makes it easy for us. Because sometimes we think, "Well, I can't help this person because I don't know the scriptures that well. I don't know all the... I haven't studied through this problem. I've never experienced this problem, so I never had a reason to. How do I help them through this?" It's something that it can be just so much simpler for us, that rather than try to prove how much we know of the Bible or anything like that, that we just preach unto them Jesus. And we can say, "Well, I don't have all the answers, but I know the one that does. That I can... My life was a mess. I came to Him. I yielded to Him, I trusted in Him as my Savior, and my life's changed. My family was falling apart, and now it's strong again." That so many things can happen, that we can just simply preach the Lord Jesus Christ, just give that testimony of what He has done in our life, that we can see that this is where I was, this is where I am, that He can do the same for you, just the same as He did for me. And we see that with Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, it was something that Paul, we know to be a great orator, a great person that could speak. We know that a great percentage of the New Testament was written by Paul, and so much of it is very very well written. We see that it's very precise. But we see when he came to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 1, it says, "I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." And that's what we desire, that we should not be concerned merely with helping someone out of the problem that they're in right now, but that we look for their eternal value, that we realize we could help them out of this problem, but if they don't come to Christ, if they don't know the Lord as their Savior, they might have a better life down here because of our counsel, but then what's it going to amount to if they spend eternity in hell? And so it is that thought that we need to share Jesus with them, that we need to show them that even they look at us, "Well, your life's all together." It's like, "What's your secret?" That we don't ever try to take credit for it or anything like that, but we say, "Well, I met someone named Jesus, and that's made the difference." That we don't preach ourselves, we don't try to take any claim or any glory from the Lord, that we point to Him, that we let His light shine out of us, that we're really essentially a road sign to direct someone to the Lord, that it isn't something that when you're trying to get to a place that you really have much memory of the road sign or much significance to that. You just know, "Well, that's the arrow, that's where I go." And that's what we're to be, that we direct people to the Lord, that any glory that they might try to put upon us, that we deflect it. We say, no, it's not me. I'm not the light. He is. And when we do that, we trust that the Lord can use that. That as we lift Him up before all men, that He will draw all men unto Himself. That people will see that. That, of course, sometimes we give them that answer and it's not the answer they expected or wanted, but the Lord can work in that. That the Lord can see that these people, their lives are blessed. Their lives are fulfilled. And they're satisfied and they're happy. And they don't have all these other problems. Well, it's the fact that if we have Jesus, that He solves our problems. And it's not that we as Christians never have problems. It's just we have someone that's there to help us through them, help us fix them, so that we aren't destroyed by them. And so it is what we must do, and our desire, our goal, that the people that we see around us, that we don't know where they're at, they might be saved and just maybe need some encouragement as a brother and sister in Christ to another, or it may be one that we know isn't saved, that doesn't know the Lord, that has never partook of the Lord's salvation, that we want to minister to them and we want to help them, and what we have to do is share the gospel with them, share the Lord Jesus Christ, that we give just simply our testimony, that we make it so simple, that we just tell what the Lord has done. It's kind of like one beggar telling another beggar where he got the bread, where he got the meal for that night. And so that's what we must do. And as we do that, I think that's when the Lord can really bless, and that we can really see a difference made. Because it won't be to our glory or anything else. It will just be to His, and that's the way that it always should be. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You once again for all You have done for us, Lord, for Your great salvation. Lord, that we did not deserve it, we could not earn it, Lord, but You gave it freely by Your grace, and that we come to You by faith in Your Word and repentance, Lord, for our sins. And we just pray, Lord, that You would work in our hearts, Lord, we would never forget that or lose sight of it, Lord, and help us to be witnesses for You, that we could share the truth of Your Word and the precious name of Jesus with others, Lord, that their lives could be changed forever. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand once more, and we'll turn to hymn number 125. In 125, and we'll sing The Solid Rock. On the first, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood.